Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Enel Américas third quarter 2024 results conference call. My name is Gigi, and I'll be your operator for today. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one one on your telephone. You will then hear an automated message advising your hand is raised. To withdraw your question, please press star one one again. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. This presentation contains statements that could constitute forward-looking statements. These statements appear in a number of places in this presentation and include statements regarding the intent, belief, or current expectations of Enel Américas and its management with respect to, among other things, Enel Américas business plans, Enel Américas cost reduction plans, trends affecting Enel Américas financial condition or results of operations, including market trends in the electricity sector in Chile or elsewhere, supervision and regulation of the electricity sector in Chile or elsewhere, and the future effect of any changes in the laws and regulations applicable to Enel Américas or its subsidiaries. Such forward-looking statements reflect only our current expectations, are not guarantees of future performance, and involve risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors include a decline in the equity capital markets, an increase in the market rates of interest in the United States or elsewhere, adverse decisions by government regulators in Chile or elsewhere, and other factors described in Enel Américas' integrated annual report. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which state only as of their dates. Enel Américas undertakes no obligation to release publicly the result of any revisions to these forward-looking statements except as required by law. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Jorge Velis, Enel Américas Head of Investor Relations. Please proceed.
Thank you, Gigi. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our third quarter 2024 results presentation. I'm Jorge Velis, Head of Investor Relations of Enel Américas. In the coming slides, our CEO, Aurelio Bustilho, and our CFO, Rafael de la Haza, will be presenting the main figures of the period. Let me remind you that this presentation will follow the slides that have already been uploaded in the company's website. Following the presentation, we will have the Q&A session. If you want to make a question, please send it through the webcast or write us to our corporate email, ir.enelamericas@enel.com. Let me hand over the call to Aurelio, who will start by outlining the main highlights of the period.
Thank you, Jorge. During the third quarter, we saw a significant increase in investments in grids business of 30%, reaching $0.4 billion. This is aligned with our strategy of having a more resilient network and improved service quality for our customers. Regarding operational indicators, in generation business, we have continued adding new renewable capacity, reaching 800 MW of new capacity in 2024. In grids business, we saw an increase in energy demand, mainly in Brazil, as a consequence of higher temperatures. EBITDA in the third quarter reached $0.94 billion, which is 6% lower than third quarter of last year. This is mainly explained by the depreciation of Brazilian reais, which had a negative impact of -$91 million, and by lower EBITDA in generation business in Colombia, explained by the hydrological situation of that country that we will later analyze. These negative effects were partially compensated by better results in Argentina and in generation business in Brazil. Gross debt reached $5.7 billion as of September, a 30% reduction compared to December last year, explained by the reduction in debts we have implemented mainly in Brazil, which has been done with the proceeds comes from the sale of Peruvian assets. This allowed us to decrease financial expenses by 33%. Before going into details of our operational and financial performance of last quarter, I would like to have a focus on two very significant situations that we are facing in these days. First, the climate events that we suffered in São Paulo a few weeks ago, and the hydrology situation that we are seeing in Colombia. Let's begin with the situation of Enel São Paulo in the coming slides. On October 11th, São Paulo suffered the most intensive windstorm in the last 30 years, with winds surpassing 107 kilometers per hour, which caused severe damage to our electricity grids and disrupting electricity supply to almost 3.1 million customers. Thanks to the use of automation systems and remote control of the electrical network, the number of affected customers was reduced by 1 million in the same night, and by the end of next day, 80% of the customers had their service back. In response to the storm, the company immediately activated its operational plan for extreme weather events and increased the number of teams on the ground. The company mobilized professionals from its distribution companies in Rio and Ceará, as well as teams from Chile, Italy, Spain, and Argentina. With this, the number of professionals on the ground reached 2,800 on the ground. In addition to this, Enel São Paulo delivered 500 generators for essential services such as hospitals. We continue work in order to strengthen our infrastructure and improve our emergency protocols. As we have mentioned, we are investing 6.2 billion Brazilian reais in 2024-2026 period. Now, let's have a focus on hydrology situation of Colombia in the coming slide. Hydrology in Colombia is in a very stressed situation since the last 2 months. After El Nino phenomenon affected the country last year and the first months of this year, we entered into a neutral phase with a high probability of La Niña to arrive, meaning higher rain probability. However, La Niña has not arrived, and we have been in a dry neutral phase for the last 2 months, with a very few rainfalls in the country. Hydro reservoir are below its historical level, and thermal generation has increased in a significant amount. This, of course, is impacting the spot price, which, as you can see in the lower right chart, has been increasing significantly since July. We have been impacted by this situation due to a reduction in hydro generation and an increase in energy purchase at higher prices. We are working in order to minimize the impact with several actions, such as not increasing sale position in energy contracts, operational optimization of our plants, optimization and monitoring of spot market, fruit conversation with regulations and associations. The coming weeks are going to be crucial in terms of rainfall in order to determine the situation that we could face next year. Now, let's analyze our investment during this period in the coming slide. During the third quarter of this year, our CapEx decreased by 37% compared to the same period of last year, reaching $450 million. It is mainly explained by lower CapEx in generation business due to the completion of renewable projects and a slowdown in developing new projects in line with our strategy. However, it is important to highlight that investment in grids business increased by 30%, reaching $0.4 billion. If we isolate the impact of currency devaluation, CapEx in grids increases by 44% compared to the third quarter of last year. 63% of total investments were devoted to Brazil and 28% where we are reinforcing our commitment with improving service quality. In terms of business line, 78% of total CapEx was devoted to grids and 19% to renewable generation. Growth CapEx reached $149 million, lower than last year due to lower investments with renewable capacity. Let's now analyze our renewable development on slide 7. During the first 9 months of this year, we added 0.8 gigawatts, 800 megawatts, of new renewable capacity, mainly located in Brazil. This implied an investment of $0.4 billion, and it represents a higher amount of new capacity compared to the first 9 months of last year. We are currently working on additional 0.5 gigawatts of capacity under construction, located in Colombia. As you can see on the right side of this slide, we are working on 3 solar projects in Colombia, Guayepo 2, Guayepo 3, and Atlantico, which will be finished between 2025 and 2026. Let's continue with generation operational highlights on next slide. In generation business, at the end of this quarter, our stock capacity reached 12.9 gigawatts, and an increase of 11% compared to the same period of 2023. From this amount, 98% is renewable, and investments in generation business as of September reached $400 million. In the bar charts on the right, we are showing our energy balance both for Enel Americas consolidated and for Colombia standalone, given the hydro situation we are facing in that country. The first column represents on our production plus energy purchase, and the second column represents the total energy sales. We can see that in the third quarter, at Enel Americas level, we increased our sale by 10%, reaching 18 terawatt hours. From this, 12.2 terawatt hours came from our own production, and 5.8 terawatts came from purchases to third parties. This sales increase was mainly explained by Brazil. In this case of Colombia, it is important to highlight the significant reduction in hydro generation as a consequence of the droughts affecting the country. We were able to partially compensate this with our increased renewable capacity, but it was necessary anyway to increase energy purchase to comply with our contracts. This increase in energy purchase, mainly the spot price in the spot market, was the main reason for our results were negatively affected during this quarter in generation business. Let's now continue with grid operational highlights on slide 9. Electricity distributed reached 26.4 terawatt hours in the third quarter, which represents an increase of 3% compared to the same period of last year, compared by higher sales in Brazil, mainly due to higher temperatures. Regarding number of customers, we had an increase of around 424,000 in the last 12 months, reaching 22.5 million customers. Smart meters increased by 2 times, reaching 1.2 thousand in this period, mainly due to the deployment of São Paulo. Net RAB and net RAB per customer increased despite currency devaluation impacts, reflecting the significant investments that we are doing. In terms of quality indicators, we are seeing that Argentina, we improved Saidi, and Colombia improved Saidi and Saifi. In Brazil, we had a struggle against difficult extreme weather conditions that affected our metrics. And as we mentioned, we are working hard in order to have a more resilient grid system. Finally, regarding energy losses, we improved in São Paulo and Ceará, remaining flat in Edesur and Enel Colombia, and slightly worse in Enel Rio. Now, Rafael will comment on the financial results of the period in the coming slides. Please, Rafael.
Thank you, Aurelio. Buen día a todas las personas conectadas. EBITDA in the first 9 months of the year reached $3 billion, 6% higher than the same period of last year, mainly explained by better results in grids business in Argentina due to tariff increase, improvement in grids business in Colombia, and better results in generation business in Brazil. On a quarterly basis, EBITDA reached $939 million, which is 4% lower than third quarter of last year, mainly, as already explained before, due to hydro conditions in Colombia and currency depreciation in Brazil. In terms of net income, during the first 9 months of this year, we reached $2.5 billion, including, and this is very important to underline, the positive impact of $1.7 billion coming from the sale of Peruvian assets. As you know, we recently completed the sale of generation and distribution assets in Peru. Isolating this effect, we reached $0.8 billion in this period, basically in line with the same period of last year. Our gross debt decreased 30%, and our net debt decreased by 65%, mainly due to the cash received from the sales of Peruvian assets and liability management actions that we are implementing. We will analyze in detail our debt later on. On slide 12, we will see EBITDA evolution and breakdown. Page 12, starting from $1,000 million, of EBITDA in the third quarter of 2023, we see that the generation business decreased by $57 million, mainly explained by hydro conditions in Colombia, while grids and customers improved due to better results in Argentina and Colombia. With this, we get to an EBITDA of $1,000 million for a third quarter 2024, which is exactly in line with last year. FX had a negative impact of $61 million, resulting in a reported EBITDA for this quarter of $939 million. From our reported EBITDA, 55% came from Brazil, 36% from Colombia, 3% from Argentina, and 6% from Central America. In terms of business line, grids continues to represent the higher portion of our results, representing in this period 52% of our total EBITDA. Generation 39%, and customers contributes with 9% of the total. As for our EBITDA breakdown on a cumulative basis, page 13, during the first 9 months, we see that EBITDA grew by 7% in a homogeneous perimeter. I mean, without considering Peru. Generation business decreased mainly due to hydro conditions in Colombia. Grids significantly increased due to better results in Argentina and Colombia, while customers' business also improved. FX had a negative impact of $45 million, reaching a reported EBITDA of $3,011 million. From this, 57% comes from Brazil, 37% of the total from Colombia, while in terms of business, grids contributes with 52% and generation 37%. Now we will focus on cash flow of our company, page 14. starting from an EBITDA of $3 billion, we see that net working capital amounted to $0.4 billion, a significant reduction compared to the previous year, but this is that is mainly explained by our normalization of net working capital in Brazil. Some delays in the CAPEX, and this is explaining substantially the net working capital difference of the net working capital when compared to the previous year. Taxes paid during the period amounted to $0.5 billion, in line with last year, while net debt, while net financial expenses had an important decrease in the third quarter due to the liability management that we have done. But on a cumulative basis, we remain basically with last year, in line with last year, reaching $0.5 billion. With this, funds from operations amounted to $1.6 billion, an improvement of $0.7 billion compared to the same period of last year. After investments for $1.5 billion, including $0.7 of growth capex, we get to a free cash flow, positive free cash flow, this is very important, of $0.1 billion. Let me now analyze the debt of our company in the following slide. Gross debt amounted to $5.7 billion, a decrease of 30% compared to December 2023, mainly explained by debt reduction in connection with the use of proceeds coming from the sale of Peruvian assets. In this sense, we reduced our debt in Brazil by $1.4 billion, and we see also a reduction in this chart in Colombia, mainly due to FX effect and in Enel Americas, Enel Americas ESA, corresponding to a bridge loan with Enel Finance International that was paid after we received the funds from Peru. Net debt reached $2.3 billion, a decrease of 65% compared to the end of 2023, and this includes free cash flow for $0.1 billion that we saw in the previous slide, net dividends paid for $0.3 billion, extraordinary operations for $4.1 billion, mainly related to the payment received from Peruvian assets, and FX effect for $0.4 billion in the period. In terms of currency and country, we see that Brazil remains as the largest contributor, while the debt at holding level represents 10% of the total, and this is a rounded figure, $600 million of the Yankee bond expiring in 2026. Finally, regarding the cost of debt, we can see a decrease for this period going from 12.2% to 10.5%, mainly explained by our liability actions in Brazil and lower interest rates in Brazil and Colombia, in both. On the next slide, Aurelio will conclude our CEO this presentation with some closing remarks. Aurelio, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Rafa. We are reinforcing our commitment in Brazil by implementing a strong investment plan in grid business aimed to have and having a more resilient network and improving quality for our customers. We had solid operational indicators in this period. In grids, energy demand increased by 3%, while in generation, we have increased our renewable capacity by 0.8 gigawatts during the year. Despite the difficult scenario that we are facing, mainly due to the higher situation in Colombia and currency devaluation in Brazil, we were able to obtain solid economic results and maintain a sound financial position, which allows us to execute our CAPEX plan. Finally, let me thank all the teams that worked very hard and relentlessly in facing the extreme situation in São Paulo, the difficulty in establishing the connection and the clients that we have, and thanks to all the teams in São Paulo, in Rio, Ceará, Chile, Argentina, Italy, and Spain that we work together in almost all fronts, on the fields, on the streets, on the back office, on the offices of the company, in order to establish this adverse situation, showing that we are proud to this recovery. There are more to come. We have our investment plans in order to face this situation. Let me announce that on November 22nd, we will present our 25-27 strategic plan, and in the coming days, we'll send you the invitation with all the details. Let me hand it to George, to Jorge. Jorge, to close this presentation.
Thank you, Aurelio. Thank you, Rafael. Thanks, everybody, for your attention. Now we will begin the Q&A session. And the first question comes from Javier Suarez from Mediobanca. The first question is, can you quantify the possible impact of the ongoing drought in Colombia in your latest presented guidance? And second question is, can you update us on the latest regulatory developments in Argentina?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Maybe I can send it to have to tell the details, but we expect that the hydrological situation will be, let's say, completed by the impact during this year. And we do not expect for the coming periods more effect on this. Of course, it's not possible to predict weather situations and weather this kind of phenomena in more than in a medium or long term. So, but considering the impacts on this, we are talking about something around for this period of $150 million. That you already recognize part of this effect, the major part of this effect, until September, but not related to the coming years because it's not possible. And related to Argentinian impacts, we had the actualization of the floods of the value of the distribution, and we are having the recognition of inflation, but of course there are more details to come. And I hand it to Rafa if he can give you more color regarding the impacts.
Thank you, Aurelio. Thank you, Javier. Very good question. As Aurelio mentioned before, the impact is around $130 million for the period due to the dry season situation that we are seeing in Colombia. In any case, we expect once this extraordinary situation will conclude, we finalize a recovery mechanism to partially or totally mitigate these impacts. In the meantime, what we are doing is what we have explained at the beginning of the presentation. I mean, not increasing sale position in energy contracts, operational optimization of our plants, optimization and monitoring of the spot market, and having full conversations with the regulators and association to, I repeat, mitigate this extraordinary impact for 2024.
Thank you, Rafa. Thank you, Aurelio. Please remember that you can send the questions to our webcast. We're not seeing any new questions. We'll wait just a few seconds in case a new question arrives. Okay, we have a question from Fernán González. Could you provide more color on the measures you are adopting in Colombia to face poor hydrological conditions in case higher rainfall doesn't arrive in the months ahead?
Yes, and, thank you for your question. We are, as was explained in the previous slide, We are focusing in the end of this year, 2024, right? And our actions, of course, it's we are not increasing our PPAs, our sale contracts, right? We are maintaining what we have today, the commitments that we have today. We are optimizing our plans. And monitoring spot markets, and lots of conversation with regulation and association, because we are facing a situation right now, Fernand, that we are not able to generate with our reservoir in order to meet our contracts. So we have water in our reservoir, but without being able, due to these regulatory measures, to meet our contracts, our PPAs commitment. That's the important point here. No? So we are analyzing the possibilities, we are analyzing the regulation, but today it's not working the general regulatory scheme or method that we can generate to meet our contracts. So that's the very important point, that it's affecting not only us, but all the system. We are analyzing internally our position and our important aspects in order to not to review, but to keep on reinforce the way and the methodology of generation and system generation the regulation of generation the way and the methodology. No? So this is very important. Of course, moreover, we need to analyze and keep on analyzing the situation of the seasonality, the season of the country. But as for today, we are being very prudent in order to not increment our energy contracts, our PPAs. Okay.
Thank you, Aurelio.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Tomás González. During the quarter, you paid 1.4 billion debt. That is part of the 2 billion debt you announced will be reduced shortly. When do you expect to prepay the remaining 600 million debt? And if you can tell us which should be a reasonable financial cost in a yearly basis, considering you are recouping the cost of debt. Second question, in addition, and considering further debt reductions, when do you expect to pay Sao Paulo Pension Fund? And finally, will you please give us an update on the concession renewal process currently held in Brazil, and what are the expectations for this process?
Thank you very much, Tomás, for the question. I will go for the first one, which is the one related to financial aspects. Let me say, normalized basis, Enel Americas will be, in terms of financial cost, below $500 million per year. So this is a normalized total consolidated financial cost, financial expenses that we expect to see for the next coming year. So a very significant reduction. But, of course, there is a combination of both different things. The first one is the reduction of the interest rates expected in the different countries in which we are operating, such as in Colombia and Brazil. And then, due to the liability actions that we have commented before that the company is implementing with the cash received from the sales in Peru, substantially, as you know, to reduce the most expensive debt that we have in Brazil. So, 500 or below $500 million per year would be a normalized financial expense. And in relation to the remaining $600 million, Tomás, we are analyzing different alternatives. One of them could be continue reducing, if there is a positive window, continue reducing the debt that we have in Brazil. It will be a focus in Brazil to reinforce the current situation, and of course we have as well the reduction as an objective of the Sao Paulo pension fund. This would be the remaining part of the $600 million. But let's see what opportunities we have. Let's see what are the most attractive ones for our investors, and depending on this, we will proceed.
Regarding Tomás' concession renewal, ANEL published a public hearing this month in October, it's pretty much in line with the decree published in June of this year, right? So there's no big difference. Of course, we are analyzing and we need to look at the details and so on. But in general, it's in line with the decree. This process will end in the beginning of December, right? According to the timeline that was published, probably we'll see this process closed. Our estimation, of course, it can change, but it would be closed by April next year. That's when we think, and according to the timeline, that will be concluded. So, but as I told you, as I'm telling you, it's pretty much in line the proposal from the regulator in this public hearing, pretty much in line with the decree. Of course, we are analyzing the details. We'll contribute with in this discussion, not only as a distribution association, but also as Enel. I think it's moving in the correct way. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question from Juan Felipe Becerra. On October 24, Enel Group CEO Flavio Cattaneo met with President Gustavo Petro to discuss the energy transition. Local media reported Enel stated it would invest around 2 million euros in energy transition projects. Could you provide more color about this?
Well, thank you for your question. I think, well, of course, it's in line with Colombia. It's a country that we consider as a relevant country for investment. So it is important this kind of conversation of relationship with the most important stakeholders. And the investment plan, we need to detail it in the next strategic plan, but it is in line with this confidence that we back in Colombia. I mean, like Brazil, as you can see, it's a relevant country for our perimeter. In the next strategic plan, that will give more color on this detail. But again, it's in line with the strategy.
Thank you, Aurelio. Next question from Rodrigo Mora. Two questions. First one, related to the drought situation in Colombia. Could it long to the end of first quarter of 2025? And second question is about Enel Sao Paulo. And then open a process to end the concession of Enel Sao Paulo. What actions the company can take to convince the authority to avoid this process?
Yes, thank you, Rodrigo. Regarding Colombia, as I was explaining before, it's not easy to predict the hydro and climate situation in more than 3 months, right? It's not me that not Aurelio is saying, but a scientist. Keep on saying this. It's difficult to predict until now the climate events in the long term or the medium term. But we expect that especially this situation, considering the hydrological season that in general closes in the beginning of a year or in the end of a summer season. We will probably see this situation more clear by the end of this year or by the beginning of the next year. So, let's see. We are, as a company, we are taking all the measures in order to protect our reservoir, our contracts, and our position. Again, there are some regulatory measures that changed a little bit what's been reinforced in the previous period. It's very important that the company should and needs to or should generate and use its generation in order to meet PPA. When you doesn't when you don't allow this, it's not correct. This is our view. But anyway, we are taking all the measures in order to protect our reservoir and our PPAs. Regarding NS São Paulo, it is important to, in distribution, it is important to keep on improving our investment plans, right? And our plan to reintegrate more people to work on our core operation activities. It is important to keep on reinforcing investments in distribution. It is key, and we are doing this, right? Regarding the notification from ANEEL, it's a normal process. I mean, it's a process that we are just presenting. We need to present our information, the information of our operation, and the information that we've done. ANEEL presented this requirement under its own declaration that it's extreme events. Under extreme events, we will present these extreme events. We'll present what we are doing, and we are confident that this process will be managed very well. And we are confident that what we are doing is what it needs to be done. And we are confident that the results will be better in the next extreme event, like it was in the compared to the extreme event that we had in November last year. We improved it in the recovered in the all the actions. It's clear that we improved it, so we'll present this, and we are confident that the situation will be better. I think that's it, no?
That's it, yeah. Just to give you more color on this, Rodrigo. On page number 8, you see that due to the fact that we have executed...
Colombia, no?
Yes, and we have already, operating with more renewable capacity than the one that we had in 2023, we have produced... Well, we have moved from 0.2 to 0.8, as you may see on the right side of this chart, and this has partially mitigated, let me say, the potential impact due to the dry season that I already explained before. No, so thanks to the new projects that are already operating in Colombia, we have a better impact than the one that maybe in other conditions we could see. No? So this is an anticipated movement due to the new capacity in renewables that we are using to reduce or to mitigate or repeat the impact of the current situation in Colombia in terms of more rains.
Thank you. We are receiving a couple more questions about the situation in Sao Paulo, but I think Aurelio already covered the current status. So we'll move to questions from Felipe Flores. Are the tax effects in Peru over after the negative impact of this quarter, or should we still see news about this in the next quarter?
It's a good question, but I think it's finished. No, we need. I don't know how it's going to do the more color.
It's finished. The only thing is that we need to pay in 2025 the remaining part due to the capital gain. But this is just a natural, action. So the capital gain has been already registered in our balance sheet, but the tax will be paid in the next coming year, in 2026, due to the capital gain registered in the company.
Okay, now from Javier Suarez. Can you explain reasons for the year-over-year improvement in net working capital? Which are your expectations for net working capital by the end of the year? you highlighted the fact that free cash flow is positive by September. Should we expect a positive free cash flow by year end?
Thank you, Javier. Yes, the answer is yes. We see a positive free cash flow before the dividend payment at the end of the year in an amount which is very similar to the one that we have announced today. So close to 100 and something million US dollars. So the answer is yes. Yes. And in relation to the net working capital reduction or absorption, and when compared to the previous year, this is mainly due to the delays in capex and to a lower capex when compared to the previous year. The generation business.
Thank you, Afan. Any final questions from Arturo Murua? In regards to Colombia, is there any update in La Guajira region for the development of renewable projects, mainly due to the delay of transmission lines in the zone?
Thank you, Arturo. No news. We are still seeing delays on this kind of permitting on this area, right? That's why we moved it to different areas, as we were explaining in our development plans. But the Guajira, we still see some delays, especially in. In transmission lines, but not only these, we're not seeing many support from local government to move forward with the project. So that's why we are seeing some delays on this. And let's see. We are monitoring the situation over there and. In order to see if the scenario changed. Thank you.
What's that? The new concession contract says that the DISCOs would have to give up any judicial disputes to sign the new concession contract. You received penalties related to last year's policy issues and has contested them in court. You will probably receive time for this year's quality event. How do you see this point of the concession contract? Would you be willing to pay these penalties to sign the new concession contract?
Marcelo, thank you for your question. It is something that we are analyzing. It's not exactly like this, because when the you don't have to give up to any law discussions. It's not general like this, and we have all the companies in Brazil, as you know, all the legal aspect and legal environment. We have lots of claims, lots of discussion, not only related to quality, but also related to many other things. And it's not like this that you need to give up to everything. That's not our reading. If it is, of course, it's unsustainable. That's my view. Again, we are analyzing the details, but the way we are reading this is it's not related to each and general discussion related to claims, related to quality, related to underground cables, related to the possibility of commercialization, or anything. It's related to issues that were some specific points, and I prefer to analyze it better and to give you more a more complete view.
Thank you, Aurelio. Well, if there are no more questions, we conclude the results conference call. Let me remind you that the investor relations team is available for any doubt that you may have. Thanks for your attention.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.